And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope that you all enjoyed your weekend, had a wonderful time with family, friends, went to church on Sunday and had a good message and got inspired and encouraged and maybe discipled to become a more mature, more productive Christian. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say make Christians. He didn't say make Christianettes. Nothing wrong with making people Christians. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just quoting Jesus. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. And so we're supposed to be disciples. In fact, here's an interesting tidbit. Did you all know that the word Christian in the Bible is actually only mentioned 3 times? And the first time it's mentioned, it is not that Christians call themselves by that name. It is that the people of Antioch call themselves by that name. Now, don't take by that I have some objection to the label Christian. I use it all the time. What I'm pointing out is I think that sometimes we substitute status for maturity and growth and development. Jesus expected us to be his disciples. In other words, a disciple is like the discipler. The servant is like his master. The student is like his teacher. So we're supposed to be more and more and more like him. So I hope that's what Sunday mornings help us all do, to become more and more like Jesus. I'm teaching a series in my own church right now on love, the essential ingredient. And I tell you, it's challenging. It challenges me. I will never change my mind about the idea that love requires sometimes strong medicine, that you have to tell people the truth when they don't want to hear it. And they don't interpret that as love because what they want you to do is just simply tell them what they want to hear and affirm what they want to hear. But that's not what Jesus did. Speaking the truth in love sometimes means saying things that people find harsh, that they find offensive. That's the words used now, that they're offended by it. But that is love, folks. I think, to me, the ultimate disregard of the well-being of a human being is to not confront them about what things in their lives that you know are self-destructive. And the most self-destructive thing in any person's life is the rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because that's eternal destruction that you are embracing. But the point is, let's all keep growing, right? Let's all keep moving forward. Let's all keep moving ahead in Christ Jesus. He loves us no matter what, but we do want to live lives that are increasingly more pleasing to him. He'll never love us more than he does right now, but we want him not only to love us, we want him to be pleased with us in our day-to-day lives. That's the goal. That's the quest, to be more and more and more like him. Folks, this is American Family Radio. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on The Awakening. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We have some big news that broke just yesterday. And before I go any further, I want you all to hear something of what the president said when he announced that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi has been killed. Here we go.
And that's why he died like a dog. He died like a coward. He was whimpering, screaming, and crying. And frankly, I think it's something that should be brought out so that his followers and all of these young kids that want to leave various countries, including the United States, they should see how he died. He didn't die a hero. He died a coward, crying, whimpering, screaming, and bringing 3 kids with him to die. Certain death.
This man committed suicide and killed 3 of his own children. This man was a demonic individual, a monster, and the world is a better place now that he is dead. You know, I don't ever rejoice in the death of anybody, because what I would love is that even a person who is that depraved could come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have his life turned around. I'm serious about that. I mean, and there are people who were former Islamic terrorists who got saved and renounced all of that. It happens. It has happened. And I want more of it to happen. But when cornered, he chose the coward's way out. He killed himself and killed three children with him. I mean, it just goes to show, folks, how evil and wicked this Islamic terrorism is. And by the way, you all know that in some circles you can't call it Islamic terrorism. Well, you know, the Washington Post kind of let the cat out of the bag because they described al-Baghdadi as an austere religious scholar. Now, see, they didn't want to say Islamic, but he's an Islamic scholar. He's not a religious scholar. He's an Islamic scholar, if you want to give him that. But folks, the man was the head of a caliphate, and a caliphate is an Islamic concept. They want to establish a worldwide caliphate. That is an Islamic and Quranic concept. And thank God we've got a president who is no longer busy lecturing us about how we've got to respect Islam and we've got to honor Islam and we got to know how much Islam has done for us and how much Islam has done for the world. And don't forget the Crusades, because after all, Christians have done this stuff too. And I mean, that just got so tired and so disgusting to hear that. And now we have a president who simply tells it like it is. Barack Obama was always trying to make excuses, even, frankly, folks, even for terrorists. Remember, because of the lack of jobs and because of the lack of opportunity, they become radicalized. Many of these terrorists have been wealthy, have been educated, are engineers, scientists, medical doctors. So please, you know, don't try to ply us with that nonsense. The president told it just like it is, and they're already complaining about it. And the Washington Post is calling him an Islamic, a religious scholar. And the president said he died like a dog. And you know what? That's probably an insult to dogs. I'm serious. It's probably an insult to dogs. Because dogs, unless they are abused, unless they are taught to be nasty, dogs tend to be the most loving companions, animal companions that people can have. So it's probably an insult to dogs, but nevertheless, I think the president accurately described him as a coward, whimpering, crying, and taking his three children with him. How disgusting. And so, folks, the world is a better place that this man has been taken off the face of the earth. And I commend this president and his administration for being absolutely focused on getting him. Now, they didn't have to kill him. If he had surrendered, he wouldn't have been killed. He would have been imprisoned. But, oh, no, he killed himself. So, folks, as far as I'm concerned, goodbye, good riddance. And there doesn't seem to be any indication whatsoever that he made it into heaven because he killed himself. And he did that at the last minute. So even those who were there, there was no last-minute repentance. There was no last-minute sorrow. There was no last-minute, God, forgive me. It was... His final act was another violent terroristic act. And so the man is languishing in hell right now, finding out just how wrong he was. But of course, it's too late. There's no hope for him now. It's done. And he's got that to deal with for all of eternity. Whew. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But thank God for this president who I think is just dedicated to doing those things that he believes in the best, to be in the best welfare of the American people. He is not trying to pursue an ideology. He is trying to pursue the very best for all the American people. And all of us, frankly, are benefiting from it. So God bless him. And folks, I've got another clip I want to share with you. And I want you to get ready because this is heartbreaking. Just stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
A question Johnny Erickson Tada has been asking over the years is, when is it right to die? That is the title of her book and has recently been updated. She understands this issue for many reasons. One of the most significant is the fact that she has spent more than 50 years in her wheelchair. She was on my radio program recently to talk about the latest edition of her book. She is concerned that society is more and more willing to accept the idea that a person has a right to die. I even talked about the pressure many with disabilities face when there is a subtle, and sometimes not so subtle, comments that imply they have a duty to die. I also asked Johnny to remind our audience that after her accident 50 years ago, she wanted to die. A diving accident as a teenager, she said, left her permanently paralyzed and in deadly despair. She even tried, with no success, to try to break her neck higher so she would die. She understands why so many would want to end their lives, but also believes we can provide hope and comfort to those who are convinced suicide is the only answer. In a related article she wrote for Christianity Today, she talked about speaking to a high school class about euthanasia and suicide. One young man described how demoralized his mother was in caring for his sister, who was developmentally delayed. He said society should do something. Johnny asked him, "How have you helped alleviate the burden?" She went on to explain that his mother wouldn't be so demoralized if he helped. The student immediately realized he might be part of the answer. The point she was making is that suicide and euthanasia are everyone's responsibility. This is especially true in a world where more and more states are willing to legalize euthanasia and put to death people who are discouraged and depressed and ready to die. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
A moment of truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
There was a 3-year-old boy who came face to face with the reality of death through the death of his young father. When he was 14, he began to understand death's reality for everyone. This produced fear, which drove him to seek Christ. After searching the scriptures and hearing the gospel proclaimed, he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. On March 31st of that year, I realized that Jesus died for my sins and came alive to give me eternal life. That experience removed my fear and gave me a close, vital relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I went from a puzzled little boy to a confident child of God. You can too. Will you?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Ryan Fisher here. The president is booed after directing the raid that eliminates one of America's worst enemies. His enemies are now hoping they can complete their coup d'etat before Bill Barr throws them in prison. And someone who engages openly and proudly in sexual perversion has a decent chance to win the Democrat nomination. All that and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, I got a couple of housekeeping things I just want to give you. First of all, thank all of you who called in, got tickets to our first annual gala in Alexandria, Virginia. Looking forward to seeing you there. And we'll be telling you more about it as we get a little bit closer. So thank you all. I want to thank American Family Radio and our leadership for allowing that to happen, making those sponsoring a table and making those tickets available to our audience. So thank you as well. I also want to mention, folks, you all know that I've been banned from Twitter. I appealed the ban, but they never responded back. So as far as I know, a suspension from a Twitter perspective is a permanent banning, because they've never said you are banned from Twitter. They said your account has been suspended and we will consider your appeal. So I appealed and never heard anything back. In the meantime, I still have a Twitter account. I ended a Twitter account so I could focus on one. So I've reopened a Twitter account under the organization that I have, Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny. So Stand Foundation, if you are a tweeter and you follow Twitter, you can find me. I don't have any followers right now. Well, actually, I think I've got one. But if you want to be a part of sort of rejuvenating my Twitter presence, because I had about 7,000, I think close to 7,000 followers on Twitter at the time they suspended my account, and it was growing. But if you want to help me get started again, Of course, you know what to do. Go to Stan Foundation and just sign up to follow me, because I am going to be tweeting from time to time. Sometimes I do sort of machine gun tweets where I get something on my mind and boom, 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 here it comes. I mean, I'm firing them off, and then I might go a couple days and you might not hear anything, but then I'm back again. So I'm going to start tweeting again, because I want to be able to communicate with those of you who are interested in what I'm thinking and what I'm doing and all of that. And it's sad that we've got these people with a monopoly on such a major communications outlet. But thank God we've got American Family Radio, so nobody can shut us up, right? We cannot be silenced. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see. Is there anything else I need to say to you by way of housekeeping? The Twitter thing was one. I wanted to thank you all for coming to our gala. We're looking forward to seeing some of our listeners there. I think that is it. Now, folks, I've been following this story of this poor 7-year-old kid who has been abused by his own mother, who is trying to turn this boy into a girl. And I have been deeply disappointed by 11 jurors in a Dallas courtroom who agreed to give this mother, this mother who clearly has some kind of emotional or psychological problems, giving her full control over the 7-year-old to ply him with puberty-blocking drugs and transitioning hormones to try to turn him into a girl. And by the way, I read some things in the Washington Examiner this morning that I didn't know, that the plan is to castrate him, physically castrate him at the age of 15. So basically transition him over the next 7 or 8 years and then physically castrate him at the age of 15. Folks, this is a sad situation. A judge came along and he did not overturn the decision of the lower court, but he did prevent this father from being removed from custody of his son. So he and the mother now share joint custody. And from what I read, that doesn't give him a veto over what the mother intends to do, but it does mean the process will take a lot longer. As long as he fights it, it will be difficult for the mother to efficiently and effectively destroy her son the way she's planning to. But here's what they also had, folks. They had a video of little Jamie being interviewed by a counselor at the age of 3 years old. You're going to find this shocking. You really are. You're going to find this shocking. Without any further introduction of it, I'll let you listen to it, and then we're going to come back and comment on it. I'll take your calls, and we'll discuss it. Listen to this.
Well, you're a boy, right?
No. I'm a girl.
Who told you were a girl?
Mommy.
And when did she tell you you were a girl?
Because I love girls.
Oh, I see. So Mommy told you were a girl?
Uh-huh.
Does Mommy do anything else, like, with a girl with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Like kisses.
What does she do?
She do puts them on me.
She puts dresses on you? Oh, wow. And what else does she do?
She buys my headbands.
Uh-huh.
And she get me hair clips.
Oh, hair clips? Okay. Mm-hmm. What else?
Some microphones.
What else?
Like a skeleton.
Does she do anything with your fingers?
Yeah.
What?
She paints my nails.
So that, why does she do that?
Because I don't like nail polish.
Oh. So Mommy puts you in a dress and puts nail polish on you?
Mm-hmm.
And what does Mommy tell you?
She tells me I'm a girl.
Oh, okay. Do you think you're a girl?
Uh-huh.
You do? Is that why you wear this, so that you can have long hair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At 3 years old, this deranged woman started dressing this kid in dresses, putting nail polish on him, and telling him that he is a girl. You couldn't see the video. You can find the video in the Washington Examiner. You may even find it on YouTube. But apparently she puts this kind of scarf, towel thing on his head. This is supposed to represent his long hair. Now, folks, this stuff is so deeply evil that it's just, it's hard to fathom it. It really is. It's hard to fathom that an adult would do this to a child. Now, I learned some other things from this article and research and talking to some other people who have been following this issue closely. You know, one of the groups that they had testify before this jury and this judge, let me make sure I've got the name right. It's the Dallas Rainbow Therapy. Dallas Rainbow Therapy. Well, folks, Rainbow Therapy? I mean, that's like having the bank robber convict advise somebody who is being dragged into committing a bank robbery. Yeah, you'll really get objective information from the other bank robber. I mean, these people are committed to propagating homosexuality. They're committed to spreading it. They're committed to recruiting it. They're committed to normalizing it. They're committed to making everybody consider it to be a desirable state of being. And I don't think I'm overstating the case at all when I say all of that. And you're going to have the Rainbow Therapy counseling a child? So if the child says, well, you know, I feel like a boy. Oh, well, ignore that. I mean, that's just the bigotry of the people that make you feel that way. You're really a girl. I listened to that and watched that video, and I just thought, oh, dear Lord. How in the world are we going to get ourselves out of this cultural confusion that has gripped this nation? Now, look, no wonder this woman has been doing this to this child for 4 years at least, for 4 years already. Can this kid ever be normal? I think the answer clearly is not likely, but he could be with the power of God and with deliverance, he could be. And we know there are people always that we hear about, read about, that I meet, who've been delivered from lesbianism. They've been delivered from homosexuality. I even met some people at our conference who had been delivered from one young lady who appeared at, when I say our conference, the American Family Radio Conference down in Tupelo, who had at Hope Church, who had been delivered from transgenderism and said she'd let people mutilated her body. I think she was an adult when she did this, but she regrets it. How in the world does a child who gets mutilated before the age of consent, before he's an adult, somebody else mutilates him, and then he grows up and realizes that he has been victimized? Where does he go to redress that? Well, you can't undo it. I mean, I've heard of, you know, discussions of potential reverse surgery, but I think that the psychological as well as the physiological damage is already done. I mean, my goodness gracious, folks. We come back. We'll talk about this. Any other subjects you all have on your mind, the number is 888-589-8840. Talk to you later.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
The wording on the front of the magazine advertising church furniture told more of the church than many people are aware of. It read, "Your invitation to worship in comfort." Is this not the invitation that the church has been giving for the past couple of decades? Come, worship in comfort. For many years now, many of our churches have been telling people this. We've lifted up the reasons why they should attend our church. And among the reasons we have listed are what any good movie advertiser would list. Our church is air-conditioned. Our preacher is entertaining and amusing. Our seats are soft. And our requirements are few. The net result is that nearly half of those individuals who have their name on the church roll never entered the church door. And of those who do give any support, it's left up to a small minority to tote the load. Our rows have never been so bulging and our buildings so empty. But at least we have worshiped in comfort. It seems like I remember somewhere in the sacred book some words from the Nazarene about a cross. You know, it's been so long since I've heard it lifted up as a way of life that I sometimes think that perhaps cross-bearing has gone out of style, if indeed it was ever in. In many churches, it's easier to get into membership than it is to get into the local civic club. And it's harder to get out of membership than it is to get out of most jails. It really is. In some churches today, it's a good day if the crowd is large and the offering high. And the successful preacher is the one who serves the largest church and makes the largest salary. To keep the thing consistent, the going church of today is the one which can lay claim to the most people with the most means. Sacrifice is somewhat out of place today. Security has taken its place. It seems nearly an insult to ask one to make a sacrifice of either time or money or talent. Your invitation to worship in comfort. That's the matter with the church today. We have toned it down, done away with as much of the unpleasant requirements as possible, divided all we could down to the lowest common denominator. The net result is that we find something which smacks of religion, but denies the power of it. Don't dare stick your neck out to suggest that we get the church roll into something that appears a halfway honest condition, because you're seeking trouble, my friend. I mean, after all, just because one hasn't been inside in 20 years, given a penny, or uttered a single prayer for the church, is no reason they shouldn't be a member. The Galilean didn't call us to success. He didn't call us to build bigger buildings, fill the roll book, or water down the invitation. He called us to offer the cross, to be faithful, to issue the plea to those who would respond, and to go on loving those who did not. That's still our task, and the hard part hasn't been removed. One observation most casual observers can make about the church and its invitation to comfort: the churches are half empty, but the courts are full. Maybe we need to forget the comfort and extend the cross.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. This is The Later. I was referring to, okay? The number is 888-589-8840. But folks, I find this stuff really, really disturbing. I'm serious, just disturbing. Let me share a little bit more of this with you. Let me see here. I get everything up and Okay. Look, the Dallas Rainbow Therapy said the following when they testified in court in behalf of James and his mother. Quote, "James is a female." Now, wait a minute. James is a female. We have no evidence that James doesn't have the Y chromosome, which only males have. James certainly has male genitalia. And doesn't it seem like a contradiction in terms that you've got to give him puberty blockers? I mean, if he is a female, then you don't need to give him puberty blockers to prevent him from developing as a female, right? No, wrong. Somehow, by their inimitable wisdom, unfathomable insight into the psyche of James, they look at him and say he is a woman, and therefore we must give him the chemical and physiological assistance that he needs in order to fulfill who we see him clearly. We see him clearly to be a woman, a girl. Even though he might look like a boy and be built like a boy and have the physiology of a boy and the genetics of a boy, we see him as a girl. And, you know, we've talked about this in terms of people having gender dysphoria. But, you know, this gives me a new take on this, which is it might be that it's the adults that have the mental illness and they are imposing that mental illness now on children. Because some adult, some delusional, hallucinatory adult looks at a child who is clearly a boy, because the father testifies that when he's with the child is perfectly boyish and wants to be a boy and sees himself as a boy. It's only when he gets with the mother, who has been telling him since the age of 3 years old that he's a girl, that he then conforms to what his mother wants. Duh. I mean, wow, I'm really shocked, aren't you? Well, listen, the lines are filling up, and there are other topics, but, you know, I really want to get to this because I want to see what you all think about this entire debacle, and that's what it is, folks. It is a debacle, and the victim in this situation is the child. So let's go to Evelyn in Texas. Evelyn, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm blessed, Evelyn. How are you?
I'm blessed as well. I wanted to call and talk about this incident in Dallas. My husband and I have actually been following this for a long time, a little over a year. We've been in battle in the court systems for our stepson, and I wanted to just kind of let people know that this is not just an issue about genderism. This is also an issue about the family court system. We've been fighting for my stepson for his entire life, from his mother's great-grandparents, or his mother's grandparents, sorry. She hasn't been in his life for several years. She's a drug addict and has had more children, and they've been birthed addicted to drugs. And she's lost all of her other kids. And we still can't get custody of him because the state says that the burden of proof to remove him from his great-grandparents is on us. And it has nothing to do with whether or not he should be raised by his father.
Wow. Wow. What? That seems a little bit weird.
It does to me too, but I've talked to lawyers from all over the country, and this is apparently a problem throughout the nation. It's not about what's best for the child in his formative years. It's about what you can prove they are doing that inhibits your child's growth and education and medical needs and all of that.
Evelyn, so let me ask you, is there any anti-father? Because I've heard from some fathers that there's also some anti-father bias that's more virulent than it's ever been, mainly because of this sort of radical feminist gender bending nonsense that sort of permeated the culture. Have you seen that too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My husband's a hardworking man. We're buying our first house in the next week or two. I mean, we're fairly young. We have other children who are younger than him, their education is far beyond their years. Because I homeschool them. But we're treated when we go to court as if it is upon us to prove why he should live with his father.
Oh,
it's not looked at like he's a young boy who needs to be raised by his father. His father is a good man and should have the right to raise his son.
Hey, Evelyn, listen, I've got to move on to some other calls, but Evelyn, thank you for calling up and sharing your experience. Let's pray for Evelyn, folks, and for her husband, because I have been hearing this too, that there is a kind of, toxic masculinity, that there's a kind of anti-man sentiment that is just more virulent in the courts than it's ever been. I guess what surprises me is that it's happening in Texas. So let's go to Karen next of South Carolina. Karen, welcome. Karen, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hey, I just wanted to say the situation reminds me a lot of a brainwashing. You know how we used to hear of like the cult leaders? I mean, this woman just sounds really sick. And I mean, it's like, I mean, I care for my grandchildren, and I mean, I think you could take any small child, and if you were that type of twisted adult, you could brainwash them and make them think almost anything you want them to think. And
I mean, three years old, Karen, 3 years old.
Yes, I have a three-year-old right now under my care. My grandchild, and I mean, this thing is just, it's awful. Like I said, it reminds me of a real sick brainwashing. But anyways, and about the last caller about the Texas, the family court, wasn't it also in Texas where the parents of the child who had a disagreement with the courts on, or a doctor on the treatment, ended up losing their child? I believe that was in Texas as well. It wasn't too terribly long ago. But I believe it was in Texas. So I do think there may be some merit to what that last caller said, but love you and thank you so much for what you do. You are just wonderful.
Well, thank you, Karen. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, folks, if it's happening in Texas, which we consider to be the most conservative state in the country, I think most people would argue. I certainly would. I mean, the most reliably conservative state in the country, and it's happening there. Whoa, we've got we all better be on guard. Let's go to Ruth in Mississippi. Ruth, welcome.
Hi, Brother Bishop. Yes, this just breaks my heart. This has been going on since this child was two. I listened to Mickey and Will Addison the other day. And also, it is. Yes, the mother is mentally deranged, and I don't understand why the judicial system is going along with her, because if you listen to Brian Fisher's program on Thursday or Friday, he gets into detail that the judge is doing favors for the mom, Ann Gurlidge, or whatever her last name is, and also that is very disturbing, but also social services is going along with the mother. So
doesn't surprise me a bit, Ruth, because when I practiced law in Massachusetts, the social services department was suspicious of any family that even took their child to church. And I'm serious about that. I'm not exaggerating. Folks, we've got problems, but you know what? We're going to win anyway. Stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
When we started this project of That the World May Know, that was a phrase I found in David's confrontation with Goliath.
Here's Ray Vanderlaan on Focus on the Family Minute.
He said, I'm going to throw this stone that the world may know there is a God in Israel. And I thought, that idea captures the essence of the biblical story. We read our Bibles, and it's obvious that God created a beautiful world. Sin came and messed it up. And God worked through this whole process to send his son to fix that brokenness and restore our relationship to God. But God's purpose was to save folks so they could become his living picture of what it looks like if God is in charge of your life.
Show the world what God has done in your life. More from Ray at FamilyMinute.org.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas. But what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
Hey, want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms, that Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, grab your laptop, go to afa.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Now, this article in the Washington Examiner I shared with you all earlier, a YouTube video. It's actually a video, but I shared with you all the audio, of course, of this child being examined by a therapist and the child saying, "My mother told me," and this is at 3 years old, "My mother told me that I'm a girl. My mother puts lipstick on me. Lipstick. My mother paints my nails. My mother dresses me in dresses." And the therapist says, "Are you a girl?" He said, "Oh, yes, yes." I mean, well, what else would this kid know? If the kid is saying that at 3 years old, my understanding is Miki and Will reported that that she's been doing this since the child was two. Well, that makes sense because by 3 years old, the child is already saying, "Yes, I'm a girl." I mean, so the child's been thoroughly brainwashed already at the age of 3 years old. Now, what do you think's happened in the last 4 years at seven with the mother constantly plying this child with this vicious, abusive lie? Wow, folks. You know, sometimes, you know, the Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. And I think what that means is the evil that people can do is so profound that you can't fathom it. It's hard to understand it. And I think this is one of those cases. Let's go to Candy in Ohio. Candy, welcome.
Hi. I called in and spoke with you last week about possibly placing a sign in my yard. I wanted it to say it's okay to be straight. And
did you do it?
I have not yet. I did order it today, but I am changing the wording, and I was just wanted to throw that by you and see what kind of ramifications you think that I might encounter, and I'm ready for it. I stand on God's word.
Amen.
He is, yes, he guides me, and I know he'll take care of me.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Good for you, Candy. Go for it.
But yes, what I want to put out there is it's not hate to be straight.
Amen. Amen. But you know what, Candy? The sad thing is, and folks, all of you listening, you know this. If you espouse any Christian, Judeo-Christian, biblical, traditional values at all, you are automatically classed as a hater. Automatically. I mean, think about this. Drew Brees simply encouraged kids to take their Bibles to school, and he was called a bigot, a hater, anti-gay. He said nothing about any other issue. It was just, yeah, you know, sure, you know, kids, take your Bibles to school. That's a great witness. It's a great thing to do. But no. In fact, who is this guy who starred in, he starred in Rescuing the Galaxy or something. I didn't watch the thing. And he starred in Jurassic Park. He's this new actor. Chris Pratt, I think his name is. And they found out he went to a church that teaches that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. He's never spoken about the issue. They found out that the church he goes to teaches the biblical definition of marriage. And they tried to destroy the man's career just because he attends the church. So Candy, look, just, you're right to be ready, Candy. God bless you. We will have you in our prayers. Let's go to Janet in Texas. Janet, welcome.
Yes. Well, hello there. I used to teach back in the 80s a group of children, and it was like time. And this one little boy, he went over and he attempted to get in some, you know, dresses type things and, you know, feminine. And I said, hey, young man, I said, you're a little boy. I said, you need to go over here and play with little boy stuff. And come to find out, I found out his dad was kind of leaning toward a little feminine, you know, action. And I thought, that's where he's getting it. You know, I've taught kids, and I made this statement. I was interviewed one time because I taught 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. And I said, it all starts at home.
Yep.
And you know what you see, and you've got, that's why it is, God's holding these people that have children accountable. They're going to be held accountable for how they taught their children. And I'm just saying, I would take that little boy into court. I would say, sir, judges, look at this. I'm just saying, this mama had to, if she's a fit mama at all, she had to have changed the diaper of that little boy. It's definitely very evident when you change a child's diaper. It's a male or female, okay? And so if they had to prove with a pediatrician or someone right there saying this is proof it is a male, DNA, everything, it's a male.
Everything, exactly.
She is the problem. She is trying to tell this sweet little precious little boy he is a female. She needs to go and have some therapy.
Amen. Well, Janet, I think you have certainly hit the nail on the head because as you were talking, it got me thinking, having practiced law for many years, it got me thinking, well, now, wait a minute. You know, in court, you have to have evidence. And the only evidence, it seems to me, this court has is this mother's opinion and the opinion of rainbow therapy. Folks, that ought to get you laughed out of any courtroom because it's highly prejudicial. It's highly biased. I mean, no judge and no jury should be paying attention to any such nonsense. But apparently the standards, like as in everything else, are changing and the rules don't seem to apply when it comes to this particular issue. Everybody must bend over backwards in order to accommodate the demands of this so-called LGBTQZRGAB, whatever other letters they want to add, because there are a lot of letters that they're adding, folks, constantly, because, of course, we now have, I'm told we have, what, about 110 genders now? The first time I heard it was about 58, and then I heard 96, and now I think it's up to about 110. So after a while, I guess there'll be a gender for every star in the heaven. I mean, this stuff is just, it's insane. It's insane. The number is 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines now, but still, let's go to Steve in Texas. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I did call the governor's office. I'm here in Texas, and I did call the governor's office, I guess, last week just to let him know. I left a message there. I actually was talking with the lady there, and she started getting actually really defensive about everything. I said, well, I just want to see what all he's doing and kind of like you know, she was told me, sir, he's made a formal statement about how he's against it and stuff, but he's done all he can do. It's kind of all she kept saying and acting very defensive about it. And I said, well, where was the statement put out? You know, what was, you know, where was it? And she's like, well, I think, I'm not sure, but I think it was on Twitter. And I think it just kind of goes back, honestly, to the brainwashing. I think, I don't know whether even the politicians, I don't know where they're getting the news from, but y'all are pretty much the only news source. And I think either on Fox or wherever they're getting it from, they're just not educated. They're just simply not educating themselves and saying in the word, and they're, I think they're just uninformed. And so same thing even with Mr. Abbott. I think he's just uninformed and doesn't really understand what's going on, the severity of everything that's going on. So I just want to throw that out there.
Well, listen, I appreciate the call, Steve. I'm not sure what Governor Abbott has said or not said. I can't believe that Governor Abbott is going along with this nonsense. In fact, I was kind of expecting him to take some kind of action, although it may be far beyond his jurisdiction, but I was kind of expecting him to take some kind of action. My understanding is he did make a statement in opposition to what is going on. But I'll look into that and get the specifics on that. But here again, this is in the courts, and you know these judges can become little judicial tyrants where they just do what they want to do. And in this case, of course, 11 jurors seem to go along with it. So, I mean, it's look. I don't think it's ignorance, by the way, Steve. I think what's going on here is the gay mafia has so intimidated so many people because of their influence with the media, because of their influence in so many institutions of our culture, the corporate world, that people are afraid to say anything that they'll be criticized for. And I think the bottom line is just shut up, because and that's exactly what they want. They want you to shut up because you don't have anything to say. They have defined morality. They have defined right and wrong. They have defined sexuality. And the only people who disagree with them are the bigots and haters and extremists of the world. That's their reality. Now, it's a silly, stupid reality. It's not real at all. It's a delusional world that they live in. But guess what? There are a lot of people living there with them who have a lot of influence in the culture. And those people have one message for you and me who are Christians and are standing up for the truth. Shut up or be punished. I've said, folks, we're living in a totalitarian culture already. All right, look, I've almost used up all our time, but let me get to Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, welcome. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, this is Jeff in Tennessee.
All right, Jeff. Good to have you on. We've only got about a minute, Jeff. Go for it.
Yeah, I really want to know where the lawmakers are on this, because there's only one biblical answer, male and female, and the lawmakers are just standing by and letting this happen. So let's vote them out, and let's vote some biblical people in. Where are the men standing up for their families? Where are the men standing up for this little child, 7 years old? Been indoctrinated since he was 3. This is ridiculous. And the pediatrician, I'm sorry about this, but the pediatrician needs to be hung out to dry.
Look, the pediatrician needs to have her license yanked, because as far as I'm concerned, she's engaged in gross malpractice and child abuse. And I mean that. I'm not being rhetorical here. I mean that. To me, she is engaged in gross malpractice and child abuse and should have her medical license pulled. Okay, folks, I've got to go. But remember this, please be encouraged. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.